Cool, is everyone a good Sunday? Good start to the new year? Yeah, that one got a bit quieter. Has everyone like given up on the new year's resolutions already? Yeah, I'm guessing so. Alright, cool. I've written this like sermon about four times, and then I got to like Tuesday, Wednesday night, and I was like, started to write a new one again. Like, it's been the same verse the whole way through. And I got to this point, and I just kind of, it's not that I'd given up or stopped, but I just felt like this idea to not keep pressing so much, which, like, I keep getting this feeling every single time I come up to preach for some reason. So I feel like I keep just going too much, if that makes sense. So I haven't really got much to say. And to top that off, I kind of left my notebook at home. But I've got everything that I've got in my head, so let's just see where it goes. But, yeah, I hate having that in the front. I'm going to move it. Is that okay? I'm going to be preaching out of Songs of Songs 2-8. For all you Christians out there, if you know what Songs of Songs is about. See, everyone got a laugh, you know what I mean? All right. So, Songs of Songs 2:8-13. Listen, my beloved. Look, here comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills, my beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come away with me. See, the winter is past and the rains are gone. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come, the cooing doves is in the land, the fig trees formed in the early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, come away with me." And what's happened in this is, I made that joke at the beginning about Songs of Songs. For you who don't know, it's basically this just intimate poem between a man and a woman, back and forth. And to be honest, it's a bit teasy, it's a bit flirty. It's about like basically just playing hide and seek the whole time. And I can't lie, it is one of my favourite books of the Bible because there's so much in it. And it's all about, you break it down and like so many scholars think it's about like Israel and God or the church in Christ sort of thing. But I just read it and I think of just me and God, to be honest. And that's so much nicer because I read it through, and if it is a game of hide and seek, I love the idea of just playing hide and seek with God. Just running back and forward. And when you think about it, that really is what our lives is, because some things are, we don't want to do what he says, so we run away. Then he comes chasing after us anyway. And then he's just like, you know, it's fun, isn't it? It's a game. Got to have fun with God. Got to be intimate with God. We've got to have that time with him. So I love it. And at this point, basically, there's the woman is like reading this poem. She's talking to her friends back and forth, and she's describing how she just sees in the mountains her lover coming after her. How she just like looks over the wall and he's already there. Just the idea that God's just chasing after you and he's just looking around the corners. And then she says that her lover talks to him and says, "Arise." A lot of people in this church need to know that God's telling them to arise up, to get back up on their feet and not just stay beaten down. But then he goes into this idea of that winter has passed and the season of singing doves has come, the fig trees are coming, the flowers are blooming, and that spring is here. So I've named this preach A Dream of Spring. Just the idea that we're stuck in winter sometimes, but we're dreaming of spring. And that's okay. Say it with me, a dream of spring. So even when you're in the winter, spring's just around the corner. Even when you're thinking that like you're unemployed, but spring's around the corner, or that your marriage is failing, but spring's around the corner. That the spring is around the corner, and you're dreaming of it. And you've got to be dreaming of it, because that's where faith is born. Faith is born in the dream. You've got to get excited about that. Faith is born in the dream, because you get to the dream, you start sitting down, you're lining your bed, and you're just fed up of all the rubbish that's happened before you. And you get to this point, and you just realise, I don't have to be doing this anymore. I don't have to be suffering with what I've been suffering with anymore. And you just start thinking about what you want, or what God's got planned for you. And you start dreaming of spring. So my preach is just going to be working around this idea of the seasons, working around this idea of spring, of autumn, of summer, and of winter. And I just want to get into some of your heads that you don't have to to just keep suffering with what you've been suffering with, but you can enter into the promises God got for you, that you can enter into that springtime. You know, springs is our whole idea of new birth, new life. This idea of, like, you think of the lambs, you think of the flowers. I didn't do that purposely, I just realized. You think of the flowers. You think of the fig trees and the turtle doves. Well, maybe we don't, but they did. Back in the Bible, if you look what those means, the fig trees represent prosperity. When spring is coming, prosperity's coming. Some of you need to know that prosperity is around the corner for you all. For the turtle doves, represents peace. Everyone wants a bit more peace at some point. And when you're suffering with what winter kind of represents for so long, of just the hard work, beating through, you're going through winter, time's difficult, but you're dreaming of that peace. And the flowers, what they represent growth, they represent just this idea that you're coming through, and now it's time to, like, sprout up, to flourish, to blossom, to come on through. So even when winter's coming, even when everything's suffering with you, it's going out his way, going through the door, you can say bye to it and dream of that growth, of that peace, of that prosperity, of dreaming of everything that God's got for you. So get those promises under your belt and you can start running with it. So yeah, spring. Spring's good. I love spring. Spring's when my birthday is, so that's quite fun. Yeah, so spring represents this idea of new birth, new life, of this growth, peace, prosperity, and all these sort of things. I want to ask you guys, if you're making notes, just write spring and write those things of what you're believing for, the new birth, the freshness. I was thinking this about this idea and what God put on my heart, and it may sound a bit dodgy, but he basically said that this new life, this freshness that we bring, that's all that a miracle is, really. It's gone quiet. But a miracle basically is when you've been suffering with something for so long and you want it in that change. And God brings that freshness in. And he pushes that freshness in. And he brings it in and he gives you that miracle. And it doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter why. But just that he does. And that's what it's all about. That spring is about that. About that freshness. About that prosperity. About his plans and his purpose and you thriving in it. So think of that spring. And if you like to say, if you're making notes, write what is that spring for you. What is that plan that God's got, and you're just waiting for that new life, that new birth? You're waiting for that lamb to come running in. You're waiting to, like, looking out for those flowers, and you walk out in springtime, and it's all just so vibrant. You just start seeing the colours, like, pop up out of the sun, and you love it. But you can't stay in spring for too long. It is almost one of the shortest seasons that we have, because it's literally just that idea of just newness. And nothing really stays new for too long. Then after that, we hit summer. And in the Bible, you turn to Proverbs 10, verse 5. It says, "He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, is a wise son. But he who sleeps during a harvest is a disgraceful son." Basically, this idea that in summer, that's harvest time. And I know, like, we always talk about summer and winter and talk about how, like, summer's the positive, summer's where the light is, summer's where all the good things come from, and winter's almost represents almost like this death and the dying of things, and it's just so cold and nobody can be bothered to get out of bed, especially Esther, and it makes me late for everything. And, like, all these other things where you have your cold showers, you have, like, this winter I got my car stuck on a field. This winter I had, like, I was struggling with money. This winter, things have just not gone my way, to be honest. That doesn't matter. Because I know I've got that spring, and I know I've got that summer, and I know I've got some autumn, and I know I've got some winter, and it just comes round. And it all just comes round. But in summer, that represents the time for your harvest. And like it says in Proverbs, it says if you don't harvest in summer, no, those who harvest in summer are wise. So when you get to summer, look around you. And look what you planted in the other times, and pick it. Summer represents that time of when you get there and you feel like you can relax a bit more, because it's not so much pushing through the hard times, pushing through, like, raising the new life. It's not like struggling with the death. It's not like pushing through, like, the deterioration, but it's just picking the life and just getting it for yourself, the harvest time. The reason why I think we love summer is because, to be honest, it means internally we don't fight as much, but externally we see what we've fought for. Does that make sense? So we fight in the majority of the other season, but we get to summer, and externally, that's when we shoot up. So any of you who are in summer right now, any of you who are like seeing that, you grab all your fruits, you grab all the things that are coming your way, and you push forward for them. In summer, that's when we take the steps, because that's when we're strongest. In the summer, you push as fast as you can, as hard as you can, you give everything you've got, because you've got everything you've got. You're not fighting anymore against like all the bad things that come away. We're not fighting against addiction. We're not fighting against unemployment. We're not fighting anymore against yourself sometimes. We're not fighting against God, but we're just flowing through life, and we're just going forward for everything that God got towards us. We're grabbing the fruit, and we're externally presenting that out. Does that make sense? You see, when you took, like, in the times of church, summer is very usually like the people at home usually go away, but you usually get fresh people in as well. And that's an opportunity to make a growth. Because when it comes round to the other seasons, you're all back together again. It's a unity season. It's a time to just to stand strong with each other. It's a time to celebrate each other. We've got to understand that God wants to celebrate with us as well. Not just like be here in the bad seasons, but be here in the good seasons. Be here to fight for us. That's what it's about. And then after summer, after the good times, and we start seeing like what's peeking around the corner, we start understanding that sometimes the good times can't last forever. And we hit autumn. And autumn's almost like this deterioration sort of period. Not necessarily mean it's anything bad, but it's just this time where, you know, like the leaves on the trees start to turning brown and start crinkling and dropping off. And it's in that time where, like, we just start seeing, we start feeling a bit down. We're not actually, like, getting towards anywhere, but we feel like we can't get anywhere either. That makes sense. You're not pushing because you've kind of started to lose your strength. But you haven't actually lost it yet. It's in a bit of this unknown season. And when I was like presenting this, I saw all the other three seasons so clearly of what they all meant. But when I got to autumn, I was so confused. Because no one ever talked about autumn. You kind of sit straight from summer to winter, because when you contrast the good and the bad so clearly, you're not really like you kind of miss out what's in the middle. But autumn's good for so many things. That's when there's this wheat called winter wheat. We plant that in autumn, just towards the end of autumn, and that provides the strongest wheat. That provides the most nutritious wheat. That provides the wheat with the most protein. It fights against the least amount of weeds and all that sort of stuff. It provides the most yield. It's called winter wheat. But we plant that in autumn, and it goes through winter because it struggles a bit. And it's because of that fight in it what makes it so nutritious. It's because of that fight in it what gives it that yield. It's that fight in it. It gives it so much strength. So if you're going through an autumn, I want to encourage you to start planting some things. I'm not telling you to start picking. I'm not telling you to start going through. But start planting some things that give you some strength for the later season. Because only the wise man understands the idea of going through the seasons to pluck what you have in the summer to use for the winter, but to plant in the winter to get it back for the summer. Wisdom's this idea of just carrying things around, consistently going around. I think Liz spoke on it a bit ago when she talked about this idea of just like 5 minutes a day is better than like an hour one day and then nothing another day. Does that make sense? This idea of consistently going through, consistently going around, consistently staying strong, consistently fighting, consistently praying, consistently giving everything that we've got for God every single day. And I listened to this preach where this guy was talking about, like, if you put this out, you put one domino up and then put another one up twice the size of it, another one twice the size of that, another one twice the size of that, another one twice the size of that. After 13, you get to the size of the Empire State Building. And that's what it's like when you go every single day just a little bit. Instead of giving everything today and nothing tomorrow, but giving a little bit every day, you start building up this compound interest. You start building up this idea. You start getting up where you can eventually get to the Empire State Building. I'm telling you, that's how all those famous Christians come out. Just a little bit every day. No matter the season, no matter the battle, but just a little bit. every day. And I can guarantee the reason why God uses certain people and not other people is because the people he uses are open in every season, just for a tap, just for a little bit. Do you know what I'm saying? Just when God opens you up, when God is giving you and pouring everything out he has onto you, sometimes the people in winter will just be like, no, I can't. I've got to focus on myself. Sometimes they feel like they can't fight anymore. They can't push anymore. But when God's given you something, he believes that you can do it. And that's when you've got to start acting out on that. And the Christians who start fighting that, the Christians who start living out in this winter and understand that God's tapping in to give out, they're the ones that go somewhere. And no matter your season, I understand it can be hard, and I can understand that sometimes it's a matter of just surviving rather than thriving. But God's given you something so you can pour that out. So no matter the season, there's always a reason for it. There's always a reason for the season. I always tell Mark off being cheesy, and I just said that. That was terrible. That was so bad. But yeah, so that's the idea. And winter represents death. Even though like it's in this season where like so much nutrition comes through, so much life comes in, so much comes in. It's in this season when like we learn to be generous as well. Like literally Christmas is in the middle of winter. The season that we use that represents death is when we use to decide to take our eyes off ourselves and put it on other people, to be generous to other people. This idea that even if you're struggling, be generous. Take your eyes off yourself and put it onto somebody else less fortunate than you. Even in this season, decide to make New Year's resolutions, to reflect, to sit in your couch and just like start dreaming on the things that God's got for you and how you're going to get there day by day, little bit by little bit. And they're the seasons. But to put them into perspective for you, I'm going to walk around. And use this part as like this idea of spring. This little while away, it's just this idea of just new life. New birth. And this represents summer. And just the idea of you're just picking what you need to pick. And you're externally presenting everything that you internally fought for. And even in autumn, you get to the point where you just start to deteriorate. And you're not sure what's going on. But you're still fighting. You're still letting God use you. And in winter, when you start like giving out to other people because it's still hard. And you're still fighting. You're still going through. It's just a cycle, day by day. Some things can be good, and other things to be bad. Nothing's always all good. I learned that so young, just the idea of, I've got a great relationship, but I'm struggling with a job. I've got a great family, but sometimes I'm a bit lonely. Sometimes I don't know where I'm going to be going in the future, but right now, so good. And we're just circling through life and we just don't know what to do. And just this idea of not everything's always good. And sometimes you can have a summer at home but a winter out at work. Sometimes you can have a winter at home with your family, with your wife, with your kids. Sometimes you can have a winter with your grandparents, with your mum and your dad. But other times you can have a summer at work. You can have a summer when you're out and you're fighting for everything that you got. But you don't mind fighting because it's all just going so well and you can see the results coming through. And you're just going step by step. And life just seems to take its toll. And you just learn to start going through the motions, so to speak. And you kind of forget God a little bit. You remember him here and there, but you forget him a bit. And you might went to that youth group at one point, but you decided to drop out because you're just going through the motions. Forgot what he did for you, forgot what he could do for you, and you're just going through the motions. And you go to church because your parents do, but you actually realize that, is this actually for me? So you drop out. Or you go to work and realize you're not getting any fulfillment from it, when actually the fulfillment might be from God, not from your money, not from your work, not from your friends, not from your relationships. And you're just walking around day by day, day by day, day by day. Does anyone know what I'm saying when I'm saying we're walking through the motions? And life's just hard. Life's sometimes lonely. You know, loneliness is the only thing in the Bible every single person went through who was used by God. So if you feel lonely right now, if you feel like your friends have abandoned you, God uses loneliness above most other things. because it's in that time when you understand that God's actually shown you who he is and shown you who you are and how you two can intimately, like in Songs of Songs, tackle this world together. So if you're going through loneliness, if you're cycling around it like I'm doing now, read that book maybe. But it's just this idea of just, you're going through, you're fighting for your marriage seems good one day and then another day it seems terrible. You're fighting for your job and one day like everything seems to be going so good and then almost winter comes, death comes. What do I do? Everyone's just asking God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? How do I get there? I just want a plan. I want it on a plate. And he's just like, even though the seasons change, my love remains. Even though you're going through the motions, even though you feel weak, even though spring's there, and then summer's there, and then autumn comes and you start questioning why am I here? Why am I still fighting for my family who are never going to get saved? Why do I see them and they're just at home and they're drinking and they're being idiots and I don't know what to do anymore? And you start questioning it. Was it Shirley this morning who talked about how she just had these doubts in her head of I want 100% healing and she went for it, no compromise. But these little thoughts started trickling in of no, mate, I'll just stay like this forever, just 80%. You're worth more than 80%. Fight for the 100. No compromise, as she said. Even though the seasons change, my love remains. So spring comes. Spring comes, we're going through. New life, new birth, got a new job, found a new girl. Got into a new college. Got into new life. Found a new church. Found new friends. Finally got a new family. Finally got something to hope for. Got a new promise. Got a new dream. Got a new desire. New life. New birth. Springtime. And you hit summer. And in summer you're just like, time to pick my harvest. Externally, I'm starting to picking out everything that God's got for me, and I'm like, hey, this is a good time. And you run around, and you're just happy. Life's going, your church is growing. Your job's going well. You're getting that with friends. Time's just here. It's summer. Then you hit autumn, and things start to deteriorate a bit, and you're like, what's going on? I know God's here. Don't matter. Keep reminding myself, God's still here. Autumn. Plowing through, doing my best. It's awesome. And finally, winter gets there. And in winter, you start seeing this death. And you have given up. And you don't know what to do anymore. And you just feel dead. And it's been long enough of like not finding a job, or you've been single for too long, or you've been questioning God for too long without an answer, and you're just like, you're dreaming of him to reply, you're dreaming of him to just get back in your life, but you're putting it on him, you tell him I'll come back to church, I'll be that Christian again, but you know what, you got to take the first step, God. And God's like, no. God's just like, you go through my gate. Like the story of the prodigal son, yeah? He went through the gate. He just took that little inch. And then the father took the run. You give God an inch, he'll give you a mile. Whether that's with your dream, whether that's with your family, whether that's with your friends, whether that's with your whatever. Give God an inch. Just step through the gate. Say yes and dedicate yourself to it. That's what faith is like. If you're looking for a house, like me and Esther are, just give everything of that inch. So you can't actually do it anymore. You can't actually go anymore because you've given everything over this price, but then I promise you, God will give you the mile if you just step fully into that gate. And I'm going to ask Liz to come and play me out, because in a bit there's a song that I want you to listen to. Because the cycle of God doesn't just talk about spring, summer, autumn, winter. But it's so much better when it comes to spring, because not only is my birthday in spring, and not only is the lamb was born, but there was a lamb that was slain. And it came to spring when the lamb that was slain, and winter came. Winter came to the disciples, winter came to people, winter came to Israel, winter came to Jerusalem. Everyone believed in the Messiah. Everyone believed that this guy was it. And all of a sudden, he died on a cross. And winter had came. Just like my unemployment. Just like my debt. Just like my relationship. Just like my hope. Just like my family. Dead. But then 3 days went past. And then we had a resurrected king. And the cycle of God isn't birth, life, deterioration, and winter. But there's another step. And that's called resurrection. And I don't care where you are, because I know that there's a God who does care where you are. And he knows that this isn't the end. But there's another step. And that even when there is death, there's resurrection. And what the song says is, by your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected king is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected king is what? Is what? Is what? Come on, say it with some excitement. Yeah, exactly. He's resurrecting you. So as Liz just plays that song, and as she takes you through this journey of your spring, of your summer, of your autumn, and in your winter, don't you dare leave out the resurrection. And I mean your resurrection. I don't just mean the one that you're just planning for, the one you're going through. I'm talking about your resurrection that God promised you. Your dream may have died, your hope may have died, but your hope is not in life. Your hope is not in death. Your hope is not in what's good, what is bad. Your hope is not in what's war, is not in peace. Your hope is in a king who died but came back to life. Your hope is in the fact that there's a resurrected man outside those doors. There's a resurrected man inside your heart. There's a resurrected man who's living this life with you, beside you, intimately, forever with you. And you and him can tackle this world together. So you can do what you like in this song. The point is, it is because it's you and him. So if you want to get up and scream, then like, I won't judge. If you want to sit down and you want to just take it all in, then take it all in. But promise me that you'll do it with you and him. Promise me you'll just do you. And one last thing, just this idea of that. I spoke about at the beginning, this miracle. And so many times, we think the miracle overnight more important than the miracle that happens in a year, that happens in 2 years, that happens in 10 years. Just because someone got prayed for at the front who had no legs and all of a sudden they had legs, that's a miracle, and I believe that. But the miracle that took me 2 years to get a job was still a miracle. The miracle that means that my kids will one day believe in God is a miracle. Because I shouldn't be able to stand on this stage. God uses broken people. I shouldn't be able to talk to you guys. I'm no good. Sin has me. But I've got a king who's greater than that, who resurrected me. So other things. Just be you. And believe in that miracle. That takes time.
Thank you.
In Ecclesiastes, it talks about a time. And I know a lot of you know because you've seen Footloose. But it says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. And a time to be silent and a time to speak. A time of love, a time for hate. A time of war and a time for peace. The time for every good thing. There's a time for every bad thing. Please don't neglect the bad times, because the bad times grow you. The bad times make you stronger. The bad times give you faith. They're the testing grounds for faith. The bad times are the times when you actually start bursting out your seed. And there's a time for that. There's a time for the good things. There's a time for the bad things. There's a time for you to grow. And there's a time for you to fight. The time for you to feel. I really feel like this whole preach, I've had this idea of loneliness on my heart, and I really like, I've had a really bad week, to be honest, like internally, and the whole time I felt alone, and I don't know why, and that might be why for this, but I really on my heart got this idea of loneliness for some people, and whatever aspect that might mean. You can be like surrounded by friends but still feel like so alone inside. And you could have it all together. And you know, the most successful people are alone inside. They don't have it all because they're missing something. They're missing something. And they're just missing this idea that they're born again. They're resurrected if they want to be. So I just want to like give anyone the opportunity to come to the front for like even me or Mark to pray for them. Around this idea of loneliness. Or around this idea of salvation. Or around this idea of just wanting some springtime. Because you're dreaming of it. You're dreaming of it. You're sitting in your bed and you're just wanting some happiness because winter has gone on long enough. And I love how in Song of Songs, it's the man who says, arise. Arise, my darling. And that's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying now. So arise. So I just want to give that opportunity as Liz just like plays us out. And if no one comes forward, don't worry about it. I don't care about looking like a fool. But God, like, if he spoke to you, just either like, come let me know, or come let Mark know, let us pray for you, or just go out of here and write some stuff down. But God loves you. I love you. This church loves you. And wherever you go, you are the church. And you're bringing that spirit into wherever you're going. And you get to resurrect. The resurrected king is resurrecting me. So yeah.
If we all can just sing that song. If we just stand and sing together. And if you do want prayer, then just come to the front. We'd love to pray for you. Amen. That was great. If you do want even more prayer, just come see one of us. We'd love to just pray with you. Thanks for that. That was wonderful. It really was. I love the cheesy phrases, by the way.